The description on Murray State's website of the praying mantis kind of downplays the comedic aspect of it. It says it's a family secret, brings love, madness, and horror to the stage, and it talks about a horrific path and a foreboding symbol, but it doesn't mention this is actually a black comedy, right?
It's a black comedy for sure, because there are lots of moments early on in the play where we begin to laugh at the circumstances that the characters are in and that the young new arrival to this family finds himself in, because there is a mysterious sister behind a door that we never ever see, and intermittently she will wail or scream or knock or scratch at the door, and the sisters treat her like, well, that's her, don't pay any attention to what's behind the door, she's a sister, and that's all you need to know. So it sounds creepy, which it is, but it's the way it happens with the dialogue and the action of the scenes. It happens at moments that are rather comic. And then, of course, the blasé fare that the sisters seem to treat that sister that is cloistered behind the door, their reaction seem coldly cruel, but they're also funny, which is hard to explain. But the comedy does start to weave itself into something much darker and blacker, and that the sister behind the door has otherworldly possibilities, I suppose, is the best word to describe it. I don't want to give away too much because it is a bit of a surprise. But she is, I would say, the title of the play, The Praying Mantis. She is the title figure, The Praying Mantis. So we all know about praying mantis and what they do, particularly the female. After they've been with the male, they usually destroy the male. So there is that lurking in the back. The young man, Juan, has come to meet Adela's, who is his fiance, her family. And so this is the first time meeting the older sisters, and later on we do meet the father. It's a strange place. It's dark. It's creepy. There are a lot of, I would say, heavy religious icons of the Catholic Church. So it has this a gothic feel to it in that sense, layered with very funny comedy. Funny reactions. The sisters, the older sisters, they are spinsters. They claim their virginity still, but they've also have been accused in the past of murdering their suitors that had come up to the house. There's a dark past to this family, if you want to consider it. I don't know, it's not necessarily Adam's family, but there is a very dark secret to the family.
And broadly, it's a work of magical realism, you're saying.
Yeah, if we want to look at the Latin American, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, the great author, and all of his novels relate around something otherworldly, or the metaphysical world manifests itself in real life in his works. The same thing happens here. The praying mantis takes on a double meaning because we do know it as an insect that will devour other insects, but will also devour its own kind after mating. But there is this dark thread of Catholicism that weaves through it. So she's praying, literally she's praying. She's described as angelic by the father. Her name is Teresa. A little bit of the research that I was doing on this is it plays off of the most famous Spanish saint from the 1500s is named Teresa of Avila. She was known as a reformer for the Catholic Church. She wanted to bring it back to more of a primitive understanding of how we serve Jesus and how we serve God through poverty, giving up all of our belongings. And there is a correlation between that Saint Teresa of Avila and Teresa, who has been cloistered behind this door. Juan, the young suitor who comes to visit, is also tied to St. John of the Cross, who happened to be an acolyte of St. Teresa of Avila during the 1500s. They were both persecuted as church reformers. So that is woven very neatly into the story of this play. So you have this insect world. You have this dark look at religion. It's a bit of a Pandora's box because he's told not to open the door. We all know about the stories of temptation, both from the Bible. We also know, if we literally look at Pandora's box, Pandora's told by Zeus not to open the box because you don't know what you'll release. So there is that element of temptation, and then also fear. We know when Pandora opens the box, all of the evils of the world are released, but what is also released is hope. And if we go back and look at the religious themes in the play, certainly faith and hope are the bedrocks to any religion. So those are there permeating this play. There are undertones or perhaps overtones that weave itself into this dark, comedic mystery thriller, because you have no idea what's going to happen. You don't know if you're ever going to get to see this sister. The two older sisters seem to be evil sisters in some sense, but they're not necessarily all malevolent. The young sister wants nothing more than to escape this crazy family she's in with the young man. So she's trying to get him because they're somewhat poor. She's saying, well, he works at a bank. You need to rob the bank. You need to rob the bank. And he agrees that he will rob the bank. But unfortunately, he opens that door before he can get out of the house. And that becomes, well, it's a tough play to describe because of all of the things that are interwoven into it. It's really deeply complex, and that's what makes it fun to work on. But it's quite funny. It has moments of great reverence and moments of great irreverence. It certainly will put anyone in the mood for October and what Halloween has to bring. I'm excited by it. I saw the play 25 years ago, and it still sticks in my mind. So that's the great thing about theater, is you have these lasting impressions of things that you may have seen. And I think anyone that does come out to see this film will have a lasting impression of this play, because one, you can't forget it. It's just impossible to forget.